We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is Ho.
Tom Brady is not winning a title as a starting NFL quarterback.
Are you kidding me?
Go home.
There's not a team with enough talent around him to have a quarterback at age 43 who is going like this win a championship.
That's quite a stretch, I think.
Most people around the league I speak to say Tom Brady's going back to New England, you know, same script. They expect that.
The obvious is the obvious.
But the wild card here that I hear the most would be the Chargers.
I still don't really get it.
I've been told that the Redskins are interested. The Jets may be interested. Joe Judge may be interested for the New York Giants.
Dale!
Power tools.
Dale, no power tools!
What are we doing?
There's no house in Connecticut.
Dolphins, I guess, is one of the picks.
We're working on Miami.
But Tom Brady with the Dallas Cowboys?
I know it!
This is some BS!
So I'm going to flip-flop.
I right. hear rumors, and there was a team that was mentioned last night that I step back and say, I would never say that publicly.
Say it! Say it!
But if it happens, I guess I'll have
Throw
to go.
Throw it out there.
The team, I, not heard, the team I heard mentioned was the Saints.
And it's not true. It's not true.
Who this is, what you know.
Now get him out.
Maybe he'll be all right. Maybe not.
All right, Brian Barrett with you for the next 3 hours or so. The number is 617-779-7937. What an idiot Brady Quinn is, huh? Great open, by the way, by Joe. Brady Quinn said the Saints. He heard somewhere when he was having dinner last night, whatever the case was, that Brady could be going to the Saints. Well, here's the thing. This guy, Drew Brees, I don't know if you ever heard of him. He is the leading passer in the history of the NFL. He already basically committed to the Saints. He came out last week and said, hey, I'm coming back for another ride, okay? So he's going to the Saints. So why would that come out of nowhere? Oh, yeah, you know what? You know what Sean Payton's thinking about doing? He's got an old quarterback that is actually playing at a better level right now than Tom Brady, but you know what he's going to do? He's going to go get an older quarterback. They have too many quarterbacks on their roster. That one just made no sense whatsoever. It is fascinating to me, though, to see how Tom Brady has hijacked another NFL event. And I'm not saying this is like an indictment on Brady or a bad thing about Brady, but the NFL Combine is this week, and really you have all this talk with the CBA, but I would make the argument that Tom Brady and his free agent destinations, if you will, are actually more of a conversation than the CBA that the players and the owners are currently arguing about right now. So a whole lot to get into. Again, the number is 617-779-7937. I want to get back to Brady in just a second here. But before I do that, if you're getting ready for the Celtics game tonight, you got about a half an hour until they start against the Utah Jazz. All I want to say is this about the Celtics real quickly here, is one of the things that Danny Ainge has been trying to do ever since he traded away Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce is he's been trying to find that next superstar. That's what they've been trying to do for all these years, trying to find the next superstar, right? And you thought for a second, huh, could Isaiah Thomas really be the guy? And we as fans of the Celtics, we're talking ourselves into a guy that's like 5'9". Yeah, he's the guy. He finished, what, fifth in the MVP voting, all NBA performance. You're not going to win a championship with that guy as your best player. Come on. And then they make the trade for Kyrie Irving, and you're thinking to yourself, well, hey, this guy hit the biggest shot in the history of the Cavaliers organization, that three over Steph Curry in the NBA Finals. Kyrie can be the guy, and we all know how that worked out. And then we've had all these guys in between. Could they trade for Jimmy Butler? Could they make a deal for Paul George? Kawhi Leonard, could they possibly trade for him? And then, of course, we get all these rumors every year about guys that Danny Ainge is going after via trade. And then we find out that maybe the guy is already here. Because over the past month, Jason Tatum is shooting 50% from the field, 49% from three-point territory. He just had 36 points last night against the Blazers. He had 41 points against the Lakers. And all the things we asked, or at least I asked of Jason Tatum, if he was going to take the next step forward, he was going to have to do about four things. One of them was get to the free throw line more. Well, this month he's shooting 7 free throws per game, which is right around what Kawhi Leonard shoots, okay? And then you asked yourself, all right, well, he's going to get a tighter handle. Clearly, he is much better in terms of ball handling at this particular point in time. So that, check that one off the box. He needs to shoot more threes and take less long twos. Okay, clearly that has become even more effective because he's taking 7 threes per game. Three more threes that he was attempting last season. And we've all seen the jump in terms of the scoring, et cetera. So here's the thing. There's the conversation all the time on whether or not the Celtics are actual contenders right now. We keep having this conversation. I hear them talking about it all the time on OMF. Ordway likes to call the Celtics a cute little team. Here's the reality of the situation, though. The great part about this for the Celtics is Jason Tatum is already an all-star, which he said before the season he would be. He looks like right now that he's on the verge of becoming a top 15 player in the NBA. He has a chance now at the way the streak he's on right now. He has an opportunity to possibly make an all-NBA team this season. That's how well he's played the past month. So now Jason Tatum has emerged as that star player that Danny Ainge has been trying to get ever since he traded away Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett. He's been looking for this player, and he drafted this player. So if the Celtics aren't to win a championship this year, which is unlikely because you have the Clippers out west, you have the Lakers out west, we've seen now what the Rockets have put together with this small ball lineup, and you look at the Eastern Conference, right now the Bucks look like the Death Star of the Eastern Conference, although they have some vulnerabilities where I think the Celtics could actually exploit them. They're one of the only offenses in the NBA that can do it because the Bucks give up more three-pointers in terms of attempts per game than anyone else in the NBA. And the Celtics have not one, not two, not three, but four guys that shoot north of 48% from three-point territory, or rather 38% from three-point territory. So you have the possible weaponry, artillery, to beat them in a seven-game series, although obviously the Bucks would be the heavy favorite. I'm not trying to sound like too much of a green team. I'm just telling you, the Celtics are the one team of the Eastern Conference that actually has an opportunity because they can shoot now defensively. It'd be a bit of an issue. But the Celtics have a chance. They have a chance, not a great chance, to make it to the NBA Finals. But the bigger, more important thing to understand about this particular Celtics team is this season has already been a success. Because in this league, you need to have a guy that can at least be a top five player in the league. And I'm not saying Tatum's there yet. Certainly, there's things that he has to add to his game. The one thing left is the playmaking, but we've seen with Kawhi Leonard, it wasn't until this year that Kawhi Leonard averaged more than 3.5 assists per game. This year, the assists are way up, but Kawhi Leonard never really became a playmaker until this year. And we've seen Tatum take step forwards in every area of his game. He can certainly make the development to become a better passer in years to come, but he's already an unbelievable scorer. You saw the treatment the Lakers gave him the other night. The other afternoon, they were double teaming him. They were giving him the James Harden treatment, where not like double teaming him when he beat his defender. No, they were double teaming him at the top of the key just to get the ball out of Jason Tatum's hands. So now what we've seen with the Celtics team going forward, the reason I say this season is already a success is because now you have the star you're building around. You don't have to try to create a hierarchy on this team anymore. Who's going to get the most shots? That guy has emerged. And partially it's because Kemba Walker goes down with this knee injury, which I'm awfully concerned about because this is the third time this year that Kemba has gone down with some sort of knee issue, not to mention the fact that he's had three procedures on that left knee to begin with, including a torn meniscus. So that should be a little bit concerning. I still don't understand why the guy played 30 minutes in the All-Star game, but with the absence of Kemba, clearly what we've seen is this has now become Jason Tatum's team. So that was the one thing I wanted to find out from this season, because Kemba Walker was never going to be the best player on a championship-level team. Small point guards, it just doesn't happen. You can count them in terms of guys that have actually done it. Steph Curry was the best player on the 2015 Warriors, but he just so happens to be the greatest shooter in the history of the sport, and the original Isaiah Thomas in the late 80s with the Pistons. Other than that, you don't have small point guards as the best player on championship-level teams. You can give me Magic Johnson, but he's 6'9". Yeah, he's a point guard, but he's not a traditional point guard in terms of the size. So at least now, and look in Charlotte. Kemba Walker made the playoffs two times. He never got out of the first round. And I understand his team wasn't great, but the point being, if Kemba Walker was this overwhelming superstar, he would have made it further in the playoffs, even with a bad team, right? Look at what guys have done across the league in the past. So if you think about it from the criteria of what the Celtics needed to accomplish this season, it was to establish the next superstar of this organization, and clearly they have now found that with Jason Tatum. Now he needs to continue to build and all that different type of stuff. But I think for that sole reason, yeah, maybe the Celtics aren't the favorite to come out of the East this year. But what happens if Giannis doesn't win the championship this year? He could be gone. And the Celtics could be sitting on something great for the next 10 years, knowing especially they're going to give Jason Tatum a max contract after this season. Okay, so he's going to be signed up for 6 years after this. And we all know that you have already a great number two here under contract for the next 5 years in Jaylen Brown. Now, you can say Kemba Walker could be the number two, but I'm talking about the future of the organization. Jaylen Brown, who's improved immensely himself this year, has that unbelievable pull-up jump shot now. One of the better defenders on the wing in the NBA. He did a great job on LeBron the other day. So you already have that guy here. So it's very easy. Once you find the main piece, It's like finding your franchise quarterback in the NFL. Once you have that guy, when you have Pat Mahomes, it's very easy to build around him. When you have Deshaun Watson, it shouldn't be as difficult as Bill O'Brien's making it out to be in Houston. Now that the Celtics actually found their franchise pillar going forward, it should make Danny Ainge's job a whole lot easier. If you want to weigh in on the Celtics, certainly welcome to do so. 617-779-7937. Brian Barrett with you for the next 3 hours or so. But I do want to pivot to the Patriots because, of course, Tom Brady, this is the biggest story in the sports world right now. And in terms of free agency, the last time I can remember a free agent story being this big, this is Peyton Manning on steroids. When Peyton Manning, remember, he's coming off the neck injury. You knew that they were drafting Andrew Luck. And Peyton Manning had like three suitors, really. Now, I understand other teams are interested, but in terms of teams he was actually considering, it was the Broncos and the Titans. The Niners were in there, but he was never going to go there because Eli was in the NFC. And not to mention, we had questions about Peyton Manning coming off the injury. Brett Favre was older, and Brett Favre did this whole retirement thing every year. Is he going to retire? Is he not going to retire? This is way bigger than that. The only thing I can liken it to is to LeBron James when he made the original decision. Remember that when he had that whole special, ironically, with Brady's buddy, Jim Gray? This is the last time I can remember a free agency story being this big. Because if you watch any of these nationally televised shows, the get-ups of the world, the one with Skip Bayless and Shannon Sharp, all those shows, they are having a Tom Brady segment each and every day. And I already told you, the guy is basically essentially hijacking some of the bigger news stories in terms of the NFL Combine. Okay, we're not talking as much about Joe Burrow's small hands. We're talking about Tom Brady. We're not talking about Tua's hip. We're talking about Tom Brady. But I started to think about this, and we'll get to Mike Giardi's report from the NFL Network, where he had a couple of other teams that are now interested in Brady, some of the stuff he's hearing. So we'll get to some of the teams in just a little bit. But I just wanted to look at this from Bill's perspective. And when you look at it, Belichick and Brady are going to have to, if they do come back together, come to some sort of understanding. And I have so many questions from Belichick's angle on this. So if you are going to bring back Brady, you're going to have to commit to him long term. And I'm not saying super long term, like a 5-year deal, but what Brady wants is a 2 or 3-year contract, right? So this is the thing that I can't wrap my head around when you look at it from Belichick's perspective. How could Belichick, the guy that after 2017 wouldn't give Brady an extension, and let me remind you, in 2017, Tom Brady was the NFL MVP. And Brady said, hey, Bill, how about an extension? And Belichick said, no, we're good here, Tom. And remember, he gave him those incentives that were essentially fake. It was be top 5 in 5 statistical categories, quarterback rating, completion percentage, yards per attempt, touchdown passes, all those things. And he could get an additional $1 million, additional, I should say, $1 million if he hit any of the 5 incentives. And Brady didn't hit any of them. But Belichick himself knew that Brady wasn't going to be throwing the ball as much as he did in the prior season because, of course, he drafted a running back, Sony Michel, in the first round, and he built up his offensive line. Remember, went after a guy like Trent Brown so they could run the football more later in the season. Belichick knew, and not to mention the fact he had traded Brandon Cooks away, Brady's deep threat, who was phenomenal with Brady. Belichick knew he was never going to reach those incentives. So it was almost like a slap in the face to Tom Brady, that contract. So then 2018 rolls around, and what happens to the Patriots? Oh, yeah, they win this thing called the Super Bowl. And Brady goes to Bill Belichick then, and he asks him for an extension. And Belichick says no. Remember, it was like that fake extension when it first came out. Everyone's like, oh, Brady, 3-year contract. No, they're void years. So, yes, he gets a salary bump. Okay, fine. He gets a nice little salary bump. But he doesn't ultimately get the extension he wants, and that's why we're here, because Brady is now in a place where ultimately he can choose wherever he wants to go, because he said, all right, if you're not giving me an extension, I want the power to become a free agent, and now he's a free agent. So knowing everything we know about Bill Belichick, and based on the fact that Brady's numbers dipped off last season, why would Belichick all of a sudden change his course and say, you know what, I wouldn't give it to you after the MVP season, I wouldn't give it to you after your 6th Super Bowl, but now, Tom, now it's the right time to give you an extension. It just doesn't make any sense from Bill Belichick's angle at all this, okay? And then the other thing you have to factor in with Belichick is he would almost be admitting that he was wrong, right? Because Brady's been asking for this extension for 2 years. So if Belichick gives it to him, well, then isn't he just admitting the fact that he was wrong originally not to give him that deal? So I don't understand why Belichick, first of all, would give him the extension. And then the other thing that I think would irritate Bill Belichick, at least somewhat piss Bill Belichick off, one of the reports that I believe is out there that I truly am 100% believing is the report that now multiple people have had that Tom Brady, one of the things he wants, which makes total sense if you're looking at this from the outside and if you're not part of the team, is one of the things he wants from the Patriots in order for him to come back he wants an upgrade in terms of his weapons. Okay, that makes total sense because last year we also saw that it was a mess from an offensive perspective. So how do you think Bill Belichick feels about that report? Because clearly it's coming from the Brady camp. But how do you think Bill Belichick feels about the fact that it's out there that, hey, if Tom's going to come back to the Patriots, you know what he needs? He needs Bill Belichick to go out there and get him additional weapons. He needs more weapons. If you're Bill Belichick, you saw your quarterback after games this year, like, for example, after the Eagles game, pouty at the podium, talking about the fact that the offense is up and down. We just played a game for 3 hours, and everybody's tired. He was not happy all season long. The body language was horrible. We saw Brady come off the field on multiple different occasions, just kind of whip his helmet off. We saw he didn't have any kind of relationship with the young receivers on the field. They could never really work that thing out. And the frustration obviously was all over Brady's face. And the other thing I would say is this, Belichick's probably thinking to himself, well, I have the number one defense in the league, and you can't do anything with this offense. You can't make these guys better. Because Belichick's probably thinking to himself, hold on, you were 13th in passing yards per game. Kyle Allen averaged more. 19th in quarterback rating. Jacoby Brissett and Gardner Minshew were better. 13th in touchdown passes. Your fewest since 03, and you had a completion percentage that was 27th in the NFL at 60.8. Ordinarily, when we watch Tom Brady play, it makes players better. Over the years, you can go through all kinds of guys. Remember Brandon LaFell? Nobody knew who the hell he was. He comes to the Patriots. Look at what he did. Wes Welker comes from Miami. Yeah, underutilized player there, but Brady makes him one of the better slot receivers in the NFL. In fact, for a six-year period, he was the best slot receiver in the game. So Brady has always been able to elevate guys. A guy like Shane Vereen. What happened to Shane Vereen after he left the Patriots? I get he had injuries in New York, but was never the same player again because he never had Tom Brady. And this year, out of the guys that Belichick brought in, the N'Keal Harrys, the Jacoby Myers, Ben Watson, Malakoff, did any of those guys get better in 2020? No, they didn't. And I'm not saying they had this great amount of weapons in terms of what they were giving Tom Brady, but none of these guys got better as the season went on, and it didn't seem like Brady was super committed to those guys and helping them get better. So that has to be something that irritates Belichick. And when Belichick looks at Brady's numbers last year and the fact that that report is out there that Brady wants weapons, doesn't it seem like that is Brady not taking any accountability for what happened? If you're Bill Belichick, you're like, hold on. So now you have all these demands on who you need, and you need big weapons, you need big name players, whatever the case may be. And we had the number one defense in the NFL, and you guys scored 13 points in a playoff game, and you're telling me that the whole problem was the weapons, none of it was you. It just doesn't seem like, from that perspective, that if you're Belichick, you think, is Brady really, really being accountable now? The one thing that I do fear is this. If Bill Belichick is in a position where Brady decides to leave, the one thing I do not want to see this organization do is I don't want them to put a Band-Aid on the issue, okay? If Brady leaves, obviously, that's the greatest quarterback in the history of the sport. That is a massive hole. What I do not want to see from the Patriots is a half-ass approach, meaning I don't want to see one of these guys that is a journeyman quarterback. I don't want Andy Dalton. I don't want Derek Carr. What is the point of that? So you're going to be maybe grinding for the playoffs. Maybe you get to 9-7. Give Bill Belichick the benefit of the doubt with a Dalton or a Derek Carr, although with the Patriots team last year, I don't see them getting to 9-7 with a quarterback like that. But nonetheless, say hypothetically that's the case and somehow you get into the playoffs, what's your reward? You're essentially going to get into a playoff game and you're going to get beat by the Chiefs. You're going to get beat by the Ravens. You're going to get beat by the Texans. You're not going to be on the same level as these other teams around the league. You know what Derek Carr and Andy Dalton are? They are essentially the Orlando Magic of quarterbacks in the NFL.
Slack right? Division II teams?
Yeah. So the Orlando Magic are this team that's the 8th seed in the NBA in the Eastern Conference. They're going to get into the playoffs. They're going to get smacked by the Bucks in the first round. Or if they get the 7th seed, they'll get smacked by the Celtics or the Raptors, whoever gets the 2 seed. Okay, but here's their problem. They're not, like, bad enough where they're going to be in a position where they can draft one of the top-tier players coming out of the collegiate ranks next year. They're not going to be there, right? But they also don't have an upside. I don't want the Patriots to turn into the Orlando Magic and just be in a basically a position of mediocrity. It just doesn't benefit the organization going forward. So if Brady leaves, Belichick drafted Stidham in the first round. Just give the keys to Stidham and see what the guy can do. And if it's not Stidham, well, then draft somebody in the draft. And then the next year, if that guy doesn't work, draft the guy again. But I don't want to be trying to hold on to this thing right now just because Brady leaves the organization. You feel like you're ready to win a Super Bowl. Now, the reality of the situation is this. If Brady leaves, you're going to be nowhere close to winning a Super Bowl in 2020. And you can legitimately ask yourself the question, even if Brady does come back, based on what this team did a year ago, do you actually believe this team is legitimate bona fide Super Bowl contenders with Brady coming back? All right, a lot more to get into. Plus, a new team has emerged in the Brady sweepstakes. It makes totally no sense to me. I'll get to that in just a little bit. The number is 617-779-7937. Brian Barrett with you for the next 2.5 hours or so.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
This is Late Night on Sports Radio WEEI.
Brady's gone.
Brady gave him nothing.
And just where are you Giants from?
We're from New York, and we
all hail the New York Giants.
New York Giants!
All right, Brian Barrett with you for the next 2.5 hours or so. The number is 617-779-7937. Celtics just about to get underway in Salt Lake, taking on the Jazz. No Kemba Walker again, 4th straight game, dealing with a knee injury. If you want to weigh in on the emergence of Jason Tatum, certainly welcome to do so. If you want to weigh in on Tom Brady, you can do that as well. 617-779-7937. I did want to get to this. Mike Giardi, and you kind of heard a little tease of who it could be that the Patriots or that Tom Brady is rumored to go to. So this is Mike Giardi from the NFL Network, his tweet today. Spoke with a number of NFL people over the last 36 hours or so here in Indy. The initial reaction has been there's no way Tom Brady is leaving New England. But as you dig deeper, execs, coaches, scouts see the Titans. Okay, we've heard that. The Raiders. Okay, we've heard that. And the Giants as possible suitors. The Giants. This one doesn't make any sense to me. Now, I'm not saying Mike Giardi's report's not true. But what I am saying is I could see the Giants because they've turned into a dysfunctional franchise going in this direction. But nonetheless, just from a practical standpoint, first take it from the Giants side of things. How does this make any sense for them? So first of all, you started Daniel Jones for the majority of last season. And the reason that Dave Gettleman still has a job is ownership. The Mara family believes that they now have their quarterback. They have their guy after Eli. I understand you can disagree with that sentiment, right? Daniel Jones was a turnover machine last year. I remember he came into the season, like he had his first start against Tampa Bay, and all of a sudden he played well in that game, and everyone's like, see, Daniel Jones is good. And then after that, he sucked. The guy threw a million interceptions. He couldn't hold on to the football. So if you disagree with their assessment of Daniel Jones, that's certainly fair. I'm not going to dispute that. If you're saying Daniel Jones sucks, okay, fine. But the point being, the general manager of the team, Dave Gettleman, still has his job because the ownership group believes that he hit on his quarterback. So why would you stunt the growth of the quarterback to bring in a 43-year-old Tom Brady? Now, I understand Joe Judge is the coach and all that, but the other element to this is if your ownership, the Mara family, and if you're Dave Gettleman, the general manager, especially if you're Dave Gettleman, the coach you're bringing into the organization had to have signed off on Daniel Jones because you don't have that guy take the job if he doesn't like Daniel Jones. That's part of the job requirement, right? Just like going to the Browns, part of the job requirement, you have to like Baker Mayfield. All those years ago when Sean McVay, I guess 3 years ago now, when he took the Rams job, part of the job requirement is, hey, do you like Jared Goff, right? You have to make sure that you like the quarterback. Same thing here with New York. So Joe Judge has to like Daniel Jones in order for him to take this job. It just doesn't make any sense from that aspect. And the other thing is this. If you're the Giants, you look at this team right now, they look like a team that is ready to compete at a high level and like win a Super Bowl. There, a lot of these other teams you can look at, like, for example, the Tennessee Titans, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, you can convince yourself, okay, we're a Tom Brady away from winning a Super Bowl. The New York Giants can't convince themselves at this particular point in time. They cannot honestly look in the mirror and say, hey, if we get Tom Brady, we're going to the Super Bowl. It just doesn't make any sense. Now, from Brady's perspective on this, he has to ask himself, am I going to a really good team? So if you look at the Giants last year, And I understand Brady can look at all these situations and say, if I go there, I'll elevate them. But let me just break this down for you. So Pro Football Focus has the offensive line of the Giants last year ranked as 17th in the league. And you say, that's not too bad, Brian. It's a little below average. But then you look at this. The combination of Mike Remmers and Nate Solder, our old friend at the tackles, they allowed 97 combined pressures last year. That's the most for a tackle duo in the entire NFL. So there's this thing that the Giants don't have. It's a good offensive line. And by the way, the weapons aren't great either. Darius Slayton, yeah, he showed some things as a rookie, no doubt about that. We all know that Golden Tate's a really nice player. Sterling Shepard's fine. Evan Engram pretty good at the tight end position. But they don't have like a bona fide, legitimate number one option, whether that's a receiver or whether that's a tight end.
Last three guys you just mentioned are injury prone.
No, exactly.
All of them were gone last year.
Yeah, Engram played 8 games. Golden Tate was suspended at the beginning of the season, but he's had injuries throughout the past. Same thing with Sterling Shepard. The guy's always hurt. So you don't have a bona fide number one option, and you don't have a good offensive line. Part of Brady's thing has been, I want to play till I'm 45, 46 years old. So I don't know why Brady would even consider the Giants. And then also you say, okay, maybe we can play complimentary football too, right? Well, the defense is a joke. So they were 25th in total defense. They were 30th in scoring defense. They gave up 28 points per game. They were 28th in passing defense. They stink. They're a rebuilding organization. So I don't understand on so many levels from the Giants' perspective and then from Brady's angle on this as well. I don't understand why this would introduce or entice either party. Now, I get the one thing about Brady is, okay, it's an iconic franchise, but it's not in the position where they're you away from winning a Super Bowl. They're just not at that level yet. So if I'm Tom Brady, it just doesn't make any practical sense. Now, in a perfect world, they would have the roster that Tampa Bay has or the roster that the Tennessee Titans have or even something closer like the Raiders. They have a better roster than the Giants right now. But the reality of the situation is that's just not the case. So Brady's evaluating this thing, and part of the reason that Brady wants to keep playing is he has basically made it clear he's going to play till he's 45. In fact, Alex Guerrero was on this very station a couple of months ago saying, hey, he could do 46, 47. Well, if you think about that, and if Brady's main goal is to play until 45, 46 and do it at a relatively high level, you would imagine that's part of the equation here for Brady. How are you going to do it behind a terrible offensive line and no weapons whatsoever? And the other thing I would point to with the Giants, you look at all these teams that are out there, the Titans, the Raiders, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the Chargers, right? All these teams that we've heard of over the past couple of months that could be possibly Brady landing spots. None of those teams really would ruffle feathers with the fan base. But if Tom Brady goes to the New York Giants, this is the one way that Brady could look really bad to the fan base for a couple of reasons. Now, the first and the main one is the simple thing.
They don't have a house in Connecticut.
Yeah. The Patriots, remember, they had this undefeated season and they lost to who? The Giants. Okay, and then a couple of years later, what was it, 4 years after that, the Patriots go to another Super Bowl and they lose to the New York Giants. So you're telling me that Tom Brady's going to go to the team that he lost to in 2 Super Bowls. You cannot sell that one to the fan base. You can get away with a lot of things if you're Tom Brady because you won 3 MVPs. You won 6 Super Bowls, all that. 20 years of your career. It's great. But you go to the New York Giants? No, you cannot get away with that even if you're Tom Brady. People would be irritated. And then the other thing is this. Okay, what's Brady's biggest issue here? Now, obviously, you got the negotiations. Is Belichick going to give him the ultimate extension that he wants and all that? There's certainly that part of it. But the other thing is, what we've heard, the number one report that I believe is Brady wants a good team around him and he wants weapons. Brady would be going to a worse situation. All these other situations, you can come to the realization, come to the conclusion that those are better fits to win at a high level. Tampa Bay, you got Godwin, you got Mike Evans. You look at Tennessee, you got Derrick Henry, arguably the best running back in the NFL. You got A.J. Brown, who's a bona fide number one receiver as a rookie last year. You have a good offensive line, a good head coach in Mike Vrabel, right? So you have that situation in Tennessee. Even the Raiders, you could say, well, Darren Waller, really good tight end. You have Josh Jacobs, a really good running back. You got all this salary cap space. Hunter Renfrow looked pretty good as a rookie. Tyrell Williams is a nice deep threat. All these other situations, Brady can convince himself, right, that essentially that this is a boost in terms of what you have from the personnel standpoint compared to what you have with the Patriots, right? So Brady could convince himself of all that. You can't even convince the fan base if you go to the Giants, it's a better situation. This is legitimately one of the worst teams in the NFL. So for those two reasons, it would be a bad look for Brady. You go to a bad team, and secondarily, You would be going to a team that you lost to in two Super Bowls. It would just be a horrendous look from Brady on so many levels, and I don't buy it. Now, the one thing that would be funny about this is, remember, Belichick used to be the defensive coordinator of the Giants. That may piss Belichick off if Brady goes to the Giants. He goes to the team that Belichick, of course, helped win two Super Bowls. That would be pretty funny from that perspective.
Oh, that's a tough one. That's really a tough one.
Tough week for Bill. By the way, you see him, he stopped at Middle Tennessee State before he came to the Combine to work out some guy.
Seventh round draft pick.
Yeah, that nobody's ever heard of. Yeah, Belichick was there. Now everybody in the NFL is going to think, oh, this guy's got something. 617-779-7937, the number. Let's get to Bob in Maine. What's up, Bob?
Hey, how's it going? I'm here to talk about the new CBA agreement. I think if we go to, you know, more games, less preseason, I think that'll be a good thing. But overall, I think they should just let them smoke marijuana. I think that if that would be a good bargain, you know, Julian Edelman, he's the PEDs, but you add him, they could add the PEDs, and Josh Gordon would be like a Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I appreciate the call. Yeah, Bob, I appreciate the call. I don't really know where that one was going, but that is part of the agreement that they were going to ease up on the marijuana testing and whatnot. So the interesting thing about that is the high-profile guys, the Richard Shermans, the Russell Wilsons, the J.J. Watts of the world, they're completely, like, against this agreement. And by the way, it was voted by the representatives of the players 17 to 14. One guy didn't vote, which is like, what the hell? If you're going to be if you're going to represent a team, you might as well vote. So you had one guy in the league that didn't even vote. So it ends up being 17-14. Now it goes to a player's vote, et cetera. Here's the thing that, if I was low on the totem pole in the NFL, which most guys are, okay, the thing that would piss me off if I was another guy in the league is all these guys, other guys, and you have one of the Pouncies putting out a video the other day basically saying, hey, we got you. Don't worry about it. We got you. If you're one of these guys that, like, isn't a high-profile guy, we're going to support you. Okay, yeah, I'll believe that when I see it. So you're going to cut me checks. Here's the thing. It's an additional, they're raising, like, the minimum salary in the NFL for these players, and basically they're giving them all this additional, all these additional benefits, I should say, that they didn't have in the past. So if you're one of these guys that's like a fringy NFL player, it makes significantly more sense for them to agree to it. But it's the high-profile guys that it can hurt, because in Week 17, there's a cap in terms of how much money they could possibly make. The reality of the situation is this. They're not going to miss any football, because eventually these guys are not going to have the balls to sit out games and not get paid. So eventually what's going to happen is they're going to come to an agreement, and this is all going to work, and there is going to be 17 games at some point. The one thing I don't like about this is that whole playoff thing.
That they ain't looking out for the best of the players. If y'all want my vote, the Pouncy Twins vote no. And if
That's Pouncy in his car. Okay. Well, yeah.
Yeah, you can tell because the music's blaring in the background.
Yeah, and he's like shirtless in the video. Like, dude, put a shirt on. What's going on here? It's not like you're like the Rock or something. You're an offensive lineman. I don't know what's going on. But anyway, it is kind of funny how you have all that crap going on with the CBA right now. And if you look at it, the bigger storyline is actually Tom Brady at the Combine. Tom Brady's been a bigger story at the Combine than the CBA. Tom Brady's been a bigger story than Joe Burrow. He's been a bigger story than Tua Tagovailoa. The fact that you essentially have the biggest week of the NFL draft season before the draft actually gets underway, the Combine, they've now put these workouts in primetime, etc. Yet the biggest storyline has become Tom Brady. And quite frankly, it's not just Brady. And obviously, he's the reason that it's the number one storyline. But if you look at it, this is the most intriguing offseason I can ever remember in the history of the NFL. Because you have all these quarterbacks that could be changing locations. You have Brady. You have Phillip Rivers. You have, if Brady goes to Vegas, you could have Derek Carr on the move. You have, what is Tennessee going to do with Ryan Tannehill? How about Cam Newton? What's going to happen with him? Is he going to be 100% healthy? Matt Rhule was talking today about the fact that if Cam's ready to go, they want him back, but who knows? They could just be in a position at this point in time where they're putting it out there that they want Cam because they want to get the asking price up there. The Bears are the one team that's come out and like 100% were committed to Mitchell Trubisky. That's the only team. Andy Dalton could be on a new team next season. We never have quarterback movement in the NFL, especially high-profile guys like Brady, like Phillip Rivers, like Cam Newton. The biggest story a couple of years ago was Kirk Cousins. And Kirk Cousins, like, is what? Somewhere between the 10th and the 15th best quarterback in the NFL. Think about all the attention it got with Kirk Cousins. Hey, is he going to go to the Jets? Is he going to go to the Vikings? Like, that was the major storyline in the NFL. Now you have all these guys, and Brady is basically holding the rest of the free agents hostage. Because until Brady makes his ultimate decision, nobody else can go anywhere. It's all dictated on what Brady does. All right, a lot more to get into. The number is 617-779-7937. I do want to get to some comments from one coach in the NFL. It doesn't seem like he's backing his current quarterback. Does that mean he's after Tom Brady? We'll get to that in just a little bit. You're listening to Brian Barrett right here on WEI.
You said just now on the podium, you haven't made it yet.
No, we have a plan. We're just not telling anybody.
Okay. What else do you need to see or know?
Oh, nothing.
You've made up your mind.
Yeah. We're pretty close. We know what we're going to do, and we still just got to see who else is available. You don't really know who's available till the tags come out and all that stuff, if there's a guy really on the market.
Does Jameis know that you know?
No.
You've said before about door number two. Who's behind door number two?
Well, that's the thing. You see all these names. You've never seen a quarterback market with like Tom Brady and Drew Brees and Philip Rivers and all these guys that are potentially going to be out there. You don't know what trades might happen. So you really don't know who is behind door number two yet. Then you can make a decision.
Can I try to translate? Jameis is coming back unless there's somebody out there that you might prefer and you think you can get him. If you can get him, whomever mm-hmm. that is,
right.
then that is your guy. Am I reading that the right way?
Pretty much it. I mean, okay. We can win with Jameis. There's no doubt about that.
Oh, my. That is unbelievable. That is the head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers today doing an interview with Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network. Brian Barrett with you for the next 2 hours or so. 617-779-7937. How about that? What a ringing endorsement from Bruce Arians. So to translate, Bruce Arians essentially said, okay, well, we may be open to bringing back Jameis. We can win with Jameis, but Siciliano asked him what is behind door number two. And he says, well, we don't exactly know because these guys like Tom Brady and Drew Brees, Philip Rivers, they never really become free agents. So we have to see what's out there. And then he says, so basically, unless you can find a better player than Jameis, you're going to keep Jameis. But basically, Bruce Arians comes out and he says, yeah, we're looking to upgrade at the quarterback position. That's what the head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers said in an interview with the NFL Network today. Talk about, like, not playing it close to the vest whatsoever. Bruce Arians just did this. Not to mention the fact, just last week, Bruce Arians was asked about the fact, hey, would you pick up the phone and call somebody in terms of the quarterback market? He said, yeah, Tom Brady. So these guys are definitely in the territory of tampering charges coming the way of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers if Brady ultimately does decide to go to Tampa Bay. This is blatantly tampering right now, what the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are doing. But think about this. So Bruce Arians has also said this about Jameis Winston. He was asked after the season this year if they could win with another quarterback instead of Jameis Winston, and Arians said, oh yeah, if we can win with this one, we can definitely win with another one too. Okay, another thing. So he said this in the interview with Siciliano. This is after the part that you heard. He was asked about Jameis Winston and his progress. He said, I would have liked to see a little more progress in December. Okay, at the end of the season, after week 17, remember, Jameis had the walk-off interception, if you will, the walk-off pick six. Remember, he's the first quarterback in NFL history to throw at least 30 touchdown passes and at least 30 interceptions. So after the 17th week of the season, game 16, if you will. So he is asked after Jameis basically has the walk-off interception to the Falcons to end the Tampa Bay Buccaneers season, end the season for them. Neither team went to the playoffs. But this is what Arians said on Jameis this past season. Quote, there's so much good and there's so much outright terrible. That's what the head coach of the team said about the quarterback. There's so much good and there's so much outright terrible. I just don't know how, if you're the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, how there's any way that you could possibly bring back Jameis Winston next season after the way that your coach has essentially talked about him publicly. He's trashed the guy on multiple different occasions. So what I read from what the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are saying, you didn't have to read too much into it. They basically told you what they were thinking. But here's where I'm at with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Their number one option is Tom Brady. That's what they're going after. They're going after Tom Brady. Everything is about getting Tom Brady this offseason. But if they don't get Tom Brady, their secondary option is Philip Rivers. Philip Rivers has now moved his family to Florida, and basically he's the knockoff version of Tom Brady. He's the statue quarterback that doesn't move very well, except he threw 20 interceptions this year. He's not as good as Tom Brady. Clearly, we all know that. But he's like the better version than Jameis because he threw slightly less interceptions, and that would be the way that Bruce Arians would look at it. So they have a clear plan. They're going after Brady, and if they don't get Brady, they're going to Philip Rivers. And if they can't get Philip Rivers, they'll go back to Jameis and be like, hey, Jameis, you know how we just trash you publicly? How about coming back, man? Let's do it one more time, Jameis. Let's try to get this done one more time. We'll get you back in here. We believe in you. Even though we went after Brady, even though we went after Philip Rivers, we're going to go back to you. 617-779-7937 is the number. Brian Barrett with you. Let's get to Colin. He's in Springfield tonight. What's up, Colin?
How's it going? Just to tune in on what you were saying about Jameis Winston. Yeah, he's trash. I don't know what team would even want him. It makes no sense. And like you said about him trashing him publicly, they're going to end up coming back to him, and he's going to accept it. But what I wanted to ask about was Tom Brady and his situation.
Yeah.
Go ahead. So, pretty much, I don't know why there would be any reason he would want to leave New England. I mean, is he really going to have a chance to win another championship with any other team? I just want to ask you that.
Yeah, but do you think that's the most important thing to him at this point, Colin?
I mean, why not?
Well, because if you look at it, think about how irritated he was last year with the way things went with the offense. So if he sees a situation where he thinks, okay, I can play at a higher level offensively in Tampa or in Tennessee or even Vegas, why wouldn't he take that opportunity?
I mean, suppose, but, I mean, like Bill and Kraft, they're not going to go out and get better draft positions. I mean, well, that's another question I have to ask you. If they do, what do you think they're going to target draft-wise besides tight end and wide receiver? Do you think they're going to go for a running back? Do you think they're going to stick with Michelle? What else do you think they're going to do?
Well, they drafted Damian Harris last year, and I appreciate the call, Colin. You can grab his line if you'd like at 617-779-7937.
That's one thing I'm waiting for. Everyone was waiting for last year. He's been sitting on the bench, and he was over 1,000-yard rusher for three seasons at Alabama, and you never used him once.
Yeah, and the other guy drafted from Alabama out of the backfield just rushed for over 1,000 yards with the Raiders last year. So you had Sony Michel, who did not have a good season. Damian Harris didn't even play. Rex Burkhead is Rex Burkhead. You never know when that guy's actually going to be on the field. When he actually plays, he's decent, but you don't know when he's going to play. James White is a traditional pass catcher out of the backfield rather than an actual running back. He's more of a receiver than he is anything else. Now, in terms of the draft, they have some needs on the offensive line that they could address. They could certainly go after a tight end of the draft. That would be nice because one of Brady's best passes, like in his repertoire, if you will, has always been that seam route to a tight end. And if I was Tom Brady, that would irritate me. That's like my best pass. I did it for how many years to Gronk? And even before Gronk, like when Ben Watson wasn't super old, before he left the organization, they had that pass for Ben Watson. But even when Martellus Bennett was here, when Gronk went down in the 16 season, that pass was still available. This year, he couldn't even throw the seam route. You try to throw to Ben Watson and Matt Lacoste, good luck. Nobody's catching that one in terms of the Patriots tight ends. But to his original point about why would Brady want to go somewhere else, I don't believe the only thing on Brady's mind right now is what gives me the best opportunity to win a Super Bowl. I know you can say, oh, you're an idiot because he's won six Super Bowls. No. Here's the thing. If you're Tom Brady, you've said you want to play to you're 45, you're 46 years old. Don't you want to go to a situation that offensively you feel like, okay, I can go there and I can thrive. I can see myself playing the next 2 to 3 years here because I know what the offense is and I know we're committed to the offense and I know it's not going to be like it was a season ago. Because if you watched Brady last year, I cannot remember ever seeing Tom Brady in his entire NFL career being as miserable as he was last season. Brady has never been that miserable. And you can give me certain games in the past where he's irritated after them, maybe because they lost. But in terms of the overall aggravation level that Brady had from the beginning of the season to the end of the season, I've never, never seen Brady more aggravated than he was last year. You could even see it when he went to the podium. Brady has been, I've labeled him the Prince of Positivity. That's what Brady's been for all these years. He goes up to the podium, he says all the right things, but this year that wasn't Brady. He was miserable. In fact, you even had a game where the Patriots, remember, after the Philly game, he's so miserable, and you have Rob Gronkowski come out when he's doing one of his post-game shows for Fox and say, Tom, smile, you're 9-1. That's how aggravated Brady was. Gronk was upset for Brady. He's like, Tom, be happy. You won a football game, but he was miserable all season long. And I just can't imagine, based on the fact that he has this power now to become a free agent, that he's going to want to come back to a place where he doesn't feel like the offense can thrive. So even if the defense is going to be great again next season, he doesn't want to go through what he did a season ago in terms of the lack of weapons. And it feels like he was pulling teeth offensively. 617-779-7937. Let's get to Mark in Haverhill. What's up, Mark?
Hey, what's going on? No, I just want to talk about those tampering charges against Tampa Bay and whoever else. you know, people haven't shied away from talking about Brady. And I think, you know, where's Goodell? Where's the NFL brass saying, you know, you can't talk about these players?
Like, yeah, they're trying to get the CBA done, Mark.
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, I'm with you. I mean, you know what else it is, Mark, though? It's kind of embarrassing for the Patriots and Bill Belichick in particular, because Belichick's always in control of everything that's going on with his team. And this is kind of embarrassing that everybody else is talking about Brady. You have all these other coaches. Anthony Lynn talked about him. You had essentially John Robinson and Mike Vrabel asked about him. In Tampa Bay, you had Bruce Arians talking about it today. It is kind of embarrassing that the Patriots, it seems like they have no idea what they're going to do at the quarterback position next year, especially if Brady leaves.
No, I think they have no idea, and I think they were left unprepared. I think it's horrible. You look at the tight end position. They got to draft a tight end. They should have drafted a tight end last year. But
yeah,
really, what it comes down to, if I were Kraft and Belichick, I'm not kidding. I would seriously issue a press conference saying, you know, if the shoe is on the other foot, the league loves to hate us. They love to attack us, right?
Right.
But then when the shoe's on the other foot, right? Right, it's crazy, like how the league just goes against the bit, which is fine. But where is the NFL brass saying, "Hey, listen"?
Oh, I see what you're saying, Mark. You're
saying, what's going on?
Like, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
You're saying if this was, say, and I'm just using this guy as an example, but say, for example, Julio Jones had like a year remaining his contract, and at the combine, the Patriots were talking about getting Julio Jones, what the NFL would be doing to the Patriots. I see what you're saying. It's a fair point. I appreciate
it. Well, the technicality is that if Brady's still with the Patriots, right? I mean,
yeah.
He's really not, but, you know, it's not the legal tampering period yet. So,
it's a fair
listen,
point.
I mean, if I was Belichick and Kraft, I would set the precedent. Listen, he's still our player. We're still talking to him. Like, you can't, you know, you're not supposed to do that. If we did it, like, the league would be in a firestorm here.
Yeah.
You know, and I just think that's the hypocrisy of the NFL. Like, I understand the Patriots are, like, you know, the upper echelon of the league, but it's just messed up. You know, that's all I'm saying. Anyway, I appreciate it.
Yeah, it's a fair point, Mark, and appreciate the phone call. His line's open at 617-779-7937. It's a fair point. If the Patriots are, like, talking about another player, everybody else would be up in arms. I get it. Now, the other thing I want to say real quickly about what he mentioned is they said his retirement last year. That screwed the Patriots over because they couldn't guarantee Jared Cook that he was going to be the number one tight end, and that's what he wanted. But getting back to the original point, the Patriots could have drafted tight ends for years. We heard Rob Gronkowski after the Super Bowl against the Eagles. He was asked the question about, hey, is it true that you may retire? So Gronk was thinking about retiring then. I don't understand why they never drafted a tight end in that time period. They should have been investing in a tight end at that point because you knew that that was such an important position for Brady. So the fact that they never addressed that position for basically all the years that Gronk was here outside of the Martellus Bennett signing, that is perplexing to me. That is really, really perplexing to me. All right, a lot more to get into. The number 617-779-7937. I do want to get to the team that makes the most sense to me in just a little bit. You're listening to Brian Barrett right here on WEI.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.